Good morning. Thank you, Raven, for those kind words of introduction. I'm going to speak from the book of Numbers. I don't know how popular this book is. Some people don't want to read this book just because of the title. They think that it is full of maths. Actually, it's not. Even those who are not good in maths can read this book. But the only challenge is that you may have to read a lot of numbers. That is because this book begins with a census. That was actually God's plan, to have a census. But then, towards the end of this book, there is another census. Actually, that was not the original plan of God. This book is actually the story between two numbering of the people of Israel. The first numbering had the result, that was some 6 lakh people were there. You know, they are, those people were able to fight the battle, those who are about 20. But towards the end of this book, the next census, which happened after 38 years, okay, 40 years. Do you remember what was the population of India 40 years ago? No, you don't remember. It was just around 100 crore. Now it is nearing 150 crore. So what is the growth? 50%, right? 50% of the population has grown in India with all our challenges. Now the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God did not count all of them, only the men, 6 lakhs. To be precise, 6,03,550. The next numbering happened after 40 years. According to the statistics, or if you draw a graph, it should have been at least 9 lakhs, right? But you know what happened? The number was 6,01,730, which means the population did not increase. Not only that, it did not increase, it actually decreased. After 40 years, there was a reduction of 1,820 people. Now, if you don't believe me, you can read and do the calculation, okay? The book of Numbers tells us why the number has reduced. Okay. Secondly, they had a journey of 2 weeks, 7 days of walk, or 14 days of walk. But this journey took 40 years. Why there is a delay in their journey? The answer is in this book. Why people did not increase in 40 years? The answer is in this book. So, this book actually gives a narrative of some very sad incidents. Now, chapter 11 starts that section of this book of Numbers. In fact, the book of Numbers started soon after the book of Leviticus. There was no time gap, actually. Okay, hardly anything happened in the book of Leviticus. That's why, you know, we don't like to read that book. It's all instructions and probably one or two incidents. One incident where Aaron's children died, and that's all. But in Numbers also, it was like that. God was giving instruction and he was asking them to do certain things and all that. And if you read the beginning of this book, you will find that God is actually making the children of Israel a new nation. Now, we got independence in 1947, and we continue to obey the rules of the Britishers till 1951. In 1951, we had a constitution. Constitution. And we adopted that constitution on January 26th, and that's how we became a republic, right? Now we have our own rule, our own law. The same thing applied to the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt, and on Mount Sinai, God gave them the constitution, the law. Now you are bound to obey the law. They are in the process of becoming a nation. Now when you come to the book of Numbers, God is actually telling them how to stay in a camp. You remember in Egypt, they didn't have an address. When they saw a baby, what did they say? One of the Hebrews' child. Right? No address. All of them were called as Hebrew slaves. But in Numbers, God dwells in the midst of them, that is in the tabernacle. And on the four sides of the tabernacle, tribes were given places. You know, three tribes on the west, three on the east, three on the north, and three on the south. And they have flags. Now, it's very easy to identify a person because he belongs to that tribe, that family, and it is easy to identify people. They got an address. Every family had an identity. You know how? That's very interesting. All of them were numbered except the Levites. Did God count Levites? Yes, he did. You know, that's a separate way of counting. When he was counting the other people, it was only from 20 and above. But when he counted the Levites, it is from 1 month onward. You know why? These Levites, they had to represent every firstborn in the family. How many firstborns are there in one family? One, right? So representing every family, there was one Levite in the presence of God. Wow. So every family is being represented in the presence of God. Then there was some detailed description of worship. When you read that, you know, you feel bored. Because 12 tribes, they did exactly the same. But it is written, repeated, the same thing. And you feel bored. But you know what? You know why it has been written there? In the worship, everyone is important. God is not overlooking anyone. Not only that, they were not going anywhere when they were in Egypt. It was only bricks, clay, and once in a while they'll get beatings. Right? That was Egypt. But now, they know where are they going. They have a purpose. They also know when to go. How will they know when to go? When the cloud moves, they move along. You know, how many times we struggle, you know, what to do, where to go, what decision to make. Is it the time to go? We have all these doubts, right? These people never had that doubt. When the cloud moves, you move. Amazing, isn't it? It also told them, when you go out for battle, who should go first, who should go last? All those instructions were given. And how to call people. There's a particular way to blow the trumpet, and then the leaders will come or the entire group will come. God brought order to the people of Israel. Not only that, he was very particular that since I am holy, your camp should be holy. He brought a lot of hygiene to them. They had no idea about all these things when they were in Egypt. And that is the new nation, Israel. Now it's almost 13 months. Okay, 1 year has passed. And all these 1 year, they've been fed with manna. And God's original plan was that they will eat manna for probably 2 more weeks. That's all. That was his plan. After that, manna will be stopped. But chapter 11, they started doing something which they didn't do before. Yes, they did, but not like this. I'll tell you why. They murmured. For example, when they were in front of the Red Sea, they were complaining against Moses. Because God did not give them any law. They did not know who is God or what are their responses. They didn't know all that. So that's fine. But now, after they heard God's voice, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, God spoke to all of them directly. Then they said, no, we don't want to hear God's word. Let Moses speak to us. Now, the law has been given to them, and they realize their position. They also realize their privileges. After that, they started murmuring. Complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. What is their misfortune? They were slaves. They were beaten. They didn't have enough food. They had no human rights whatsoever. Now, they became a nation. They have an address. They have a position in the presence of God. They know where they are going. Let me tell you, they lived in air condition. Do you know that? There was cloud during the day and there is fire during the night. They were not afraid of the weather. There was no need of that. And above all, they were given food from heaven and water from the rock. But in spite of all that, they complained, they murmured. They said, all what we are going through is misfortune. They were not satisfied with what God has given them. And they craved for something else. Now the first episode, that is from verse 1 to 3, they murmured and God heard it. And God sent fire to the camp. And some people died. And they realized that this is from the Lord. This is a punishment from the Lord. So they cried to Moses. And Moses prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. Not only that, they actually named that place Tabrah, which means the fire of the Lord burned among them. So when they look at this place, they realize that we murmured, we complained against God, and because of our complaint, God punished us. They learned a lesson. Did they? I really don't know. They should have learned a lesson. God hates complaining. You know what? In our life, spiritual life, or Christian life, if you are not content with what you have, there is something wrong with your spiritual life. Let me repeat. If you are not content with what you are, what you have, there is something seriously wrong with your spiritual life. Because you just, during the worship, we just said that we call him Abba Father, right? He's our Father who provides what is good for us. And if you doubt that your Abba Father is not providing what is good for you, there is something wrong with your relationship with him. Okay? It's a very dangerous situation. What is the opposite of complaining? We all know that. Thanksgiving, right? The New Testament teaches us that we should be thanksgiving people. We should be a thanksgiving people. We should always, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. Because even though we don't understand why are we going through this situation, it's our Heavenly Father who controls the situation. So these people, because they complained, God disciplined them. But they did not learn the lesson. Come to verse 4. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing? Cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions and garlic. Fish and vegan food, right? That's what they say. You know, we missed that. And they're saying, we don't have meat to eat. Who are complaining now? Verse 4, we read that rabble or a mixed generation. Who are these people? Mixed generation or rabble. Are they Egyptians? Well, they are. Are they Israelites? Well, they are. Probably half Egyptians and half Israelites. Or 100% Egyptians who joined the Israelites. They don't belong to the people of God, but they are among them. I'll tell you why. Hebrews had to leave Egypt. You know why? Because they were slaves. They had no privileges in Egypt. But these people, they were not like that. They actually have a dual citizenship. You know, OCI card? Heard of that? Overseas citizens. Right? They actually have privileges of both the countries. These people were like that. They could go back and live as Egyptians. And these people are among the people of God. You know how these people are among the people of Israel now? We really don't know what is the reason. But I have some reasons. You can reject it. Number one, I believe that these people saw the miracles that were performed by Moses in Egypt. The 10 plagues, especially the 9 of them, they were miracles. They said, wow, their God, the God of Israelites, powerful. He does wonders. So they said, okay, we'll join them. It's better we join them. You read that, you know, when the plague was happening towards the end of the plague, some of the servants of Pharaoh actually spoke to Pharaoh saying that, why are you destroying this land? So they actually believed in the God of Israel. Probably some of them decided to join the Israelites. Then there were another group. Again, this is my theory, okay? You can reject it. You just go and ask your neighbor for ornaments, gold and silver. They are giving. You remember on the night when the Passover lamb was killed? That night, the Israelite left, and during that time, God said, you go and ask your neighbors for their gold and silver. They'll give you. So they said, get rid of all that you have in this land. Take all your stuff and get out of this land. You want some money? You want some gold? We'll give you. We don't want to die. Probably these people too also joined. They said, it's a good opportunity to collect money from others. They collected money and they left. Again, my theory, you can reject it. But they did not leave Egypt because it was dangerous for them to live in Egypt. That's for sure. But for a Hebrew, it was dangerous to be in Egypt. He will be a slave and he might get killed as well. You know, there are people in the church today who can be very comfortable in the world, who can be very comfortable in their so-called previous life. They thought it was good life. But there were some people who realized that if I continue like this, I'll die. I'll go to hell. Those people, they turned to Jesus and said, save me! There is no other way that I can escape from the hell, from the wrath of God. You know, there are people in the church, I'm very sad to say this, there are people in the church today that they never realized that their sin deserves eternal hell. They were never convicted of the seriousness of their sin. Someone told them, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll be good. They said, okay, we believe. they were never convicted of their sin. Let me tell you, if you are not convicted of the danger of continuing in sin, you cannot be saved. The moment you realize that the sin in your life is so serious that can destroy you, then you look for a savior. The rabble here, they could have lived in Egypt comfortably. That's why they are thinking about Egypt. Okay? They left Egypt, but Egypt was within them. And they had this craving for the things of Egypt. And they started complaining. They wept. And they said, we don't have meat to eat. Now, let me tell you, I believe that most of you are comfortable with non-vegetarian food, right? If you have to eat vegetarian food for 1.5 years, well, some people can't even do it for 1.5 days. That's tough, right? These people, for the last, this is what they're saying. For the last 1 year, we did not eat non-vegetarian food. We are only eating this manna. Okay, we'll talk about manna later. But they're saying we are not getting meat. Is that true that there is no way that they could eat meat? I too thought like that. Okay, it's a genuine concern. For the last 1.5 years, they're not eating meat. That's sad. But wait a minute. The previous book, Leviticus, it is actually talking about the sacrificial system, right? What happens in a sacrifice? You take an animal to the altar. You kill the animal, okay? Not the priest. You do that. Then the priest will help you to skin the animal and all that. If it is a burnt offering, you have to burn the entire thing. That's only one type of sacrifice. There are so many other types of sacrifice. In those sacrifices, what do? You give the right shoulder to the priest. The fat is burned. Okay, fat you are not allowed to eat. But then what about the rest of the meat? Who's going to eat that? Have you ever thought about it? 3/4 of the meat of the animal will be eaten by the person who offers the sacrifice and his family. You got it? So when they say that we don't have non-veg, they are lying. You want to eat non-veg? Have a peace offering. You will have meat. They were lying. That was not true. They had the opportunity to eat even non-veg. But they are saying, no, 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 we are not getting non-veg. We are only eating this manna. But then about manna, we read from Psalm 78. The food of the angels. None of us had the opportunity to taste that or even see what it was. When the Israelites were eating, they did not realize the value of it. No, I have a theory about manna again. I believe this is the healthiest food ever a person can eat. 40 years they ate this food. And after 40 years, they have been challenged. Even your clothes were as if it was new. Right? After 40 years. Now, how many of you can wear a shirt or a churidar which you wore 40 years ago? We wish, right? We wish we could. Those who ate manna, they remain the same. They did not put on weight. It's a healthy diet. Right? After 40 years, they looked the same. It was the best food that was available. Psalmist says it was the food of angels. You know, Brother Joy John, he used to talk about it. When the manna was given, you know, what is the meaning of that word manna? What is it? Right? So first time when they saw manna in the morning, they looked at it and said, what is it? But now when you come to Numbers 11, they look at the same manna and say, what is it? Right? They are fed up with God's provision. You know, when you see manna, it reminds you of God's providence. Right? God provides every day. It also reminds of God's faithfulness, especially on a Saturday. You know why? The manna that falls on every Friday will not get spoiled on the next day. Can you imagine God did that for 40 years? It reminds of God's providence and God's faithfulness. But they couldn't see that. They only could see what is not there. They said, we want meat. We had fish in Egypt. You know, when they complained about their food, you know what happened to Moses? Moses got so upset. It actually affected Moses, the great leader. He started complaining to God, saying, what do you think? Am I the mother of these people? What do you expect of me? I can't do this. In fact, in the same chapter, God had to delegate or select 70 more leaders so that they will bear the burden with Moses in leading the people. Okay, that's another important thing that we read in this chapter. But then God told him, tomorrow, ask them to consecrate yourself because I'm going to give them meat. Okay, that's good. But God did not stop there. I'm not going to give them 1 day, 2 days, or a week. I'm going to give them meat for a month. What was Moses' response? Are you sure? Moses didn't say that, but what are you saying, God? Are you going to slaughter so many animals to give these many people? 600,000 men. Are you going to give that much meat to these people? That too for a month? I could see the smile in the face of God. What do you think, Moses? What do you think of me? In fact, when it came to giving meat, Moses thought about the process. You have to kill animals and get the meat and all that. But he never thought about manna. How did this thing come from heaven? What is it? He never thought about it. So many people have been fed every day. He had no problem. But when God talked about meat, is that possible? Have you heard of a kid who drank the milk of elephant and within a week it gained 10 kilos? Have you heard of that? Nobody heard about it? You heard about it? Yeah, I heard about it. That kid was elephant's kid. Okay? Good one, right? Have you seen a skinny elephant in the forest? You may see in the zoo, but not in the forest. You know, I grew up in Kerala. I've seen many elephants. But some 18 years ago, we were coming from Nanjangud. And there, one elephant charged at our car. Okay, it was a very scary experience. But let me tell you, I was scared. All of us were scared. But I haven't seen an elephant like that. It was so big, well-fed. And I wonder who feeds that elephant. Have you ever thought about it? We are concerned about taking care of the environment and all that. Have you ever seen Willy, the shark? I forgot the name of that. Killer whale, yes, killer whale. Have you seen a skinny killer whale? No. It's always fat and round. And that killer whale eats non-veg. Okay, no vegetarian diet for it. And who feeds that? We are saying that we should do something so that the polar bears will be there. Have you ever tried of feeding a polar bear? You can't even see anything in the pole. It's only white ice. And it hunts, eats fish. How does it do that? We did not train it. God provides. So when Moses asked, how are you going to do this? God said, what do you think of me, Moses? What do you think? Ask people to get ready to eat meat. But along with that, God said one thing, that I'll feed them 1 month with meat so that the meat will come out through your nostrils. How many of you experience food coming through your nostrils? Yes, see, I know. You know, when you are sick, when you throw up, sometimes the food comes through your nostrils. And that's when we curse the spicy food, right? Oh no, it's so painful. God said, that's going to happen. The meat is going to come out through your nostrils, which means, it simply means, you are craving for meat. And you are complaining that I did not give you meat. So I'm going to give you meat. But you will not be satisfied. See, after all, we all like to have food. And the important thing is, after you eat the food, it gives you a kind of satisfaction, at least for some time. At least till the next meal, right? God says, I will give you what you ask for. But don't think that will satisfy you. That's sad, isn't it? That's very sad. You know, if you come to the end of this chapter, we read from 31. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall aside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side and around the camp and about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Those who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. 2 feet is the side. And you walk 1 day in that direction. How many kilometers you can walk in a day? Half an hour, 2 kilometers if you walk slowly. Right? So 1 hour, 4 kilometers. If you walk 8 kilometers, how many kilometers? You can do the math. And if you walk for 8 hours in one direction, when you reach there also you have quail 2 feet high. They're not dead. They are alive, they are flying. One person gathered 10 homers. You know how much that is? I did not know the calculation. I read it somewhere. It says something around 220 liters of meat. Every day, right? For 1 month. Why did God do that? God also knew that they are not going to eat that much meat. God was actually showing off. Yes, he was. You know why? You know what he was showing to these people? If I wanted to give you meat, Moses, hope you are watching. If I wanted to give them meat, I could have done it just like that. Could have done it. If I didn't give you, for all these years, all these months that I didn't give you meat, I did not do it because that was not good for you. Do you understand? Now, there are times when we pray for certain things in our life. And we pray for certain things for a long time. There's nothing wrong in that. Actually, we should be persistent in our prayer. We should not lose our heart. But when we pray for things that will satisfy our flesh, you need to be careful. Now, you should ask for your material needs. There's no doubt about that. But when you ask for material things, especially things that you want to spend on your flesh, be careful. Sometimes God will not give you what you ask for. You ask for certain things God did not give you. Let me tell you my experience. I remember me asking for certain things and God did not give me. And now, I'm quite thankful to God that He did not answer my prayer. You know the story of Elijah? What was Elijah's prayer when he was under the juniper tree? I want to die. God, I want to die. I'm not better than those who lived before me. Did God answer that prayer? No, He didn't. He did not. Thank God for the prayers that He did not answer positively. When these people were craving for meat, God knew that it is not good for them, and that's why He didn't give. Now, many a times, we fall into this trap. I prayed and God didn't give me. I'm disappointed with God and all that. But God is not giving you because it is not good for you. What is the issue here? We get more occupied with the blessings that God gave us. God gives us rather than God Himself. Our relationship with God, that is more important than what He gives. Here the issue was, they did not care about their relationship with God. They wanted God to do everything for them, but they didn't want God. You stay away. You know, there are tent in the middle, the tabernacle in the middle, and there were people who were staying around the tabernacle. But there are people who are far away from the tent. They don't care what is happening. The relationship with God is not so important. You know, in Psalm 84, one of my favorite psalms, many of you read that psalm. Psalm 84, a psalm written by the sons of Korah. Their father wanted to show incense. He wanted to be like Aaron and all that. He was not satisfied with the blessing or with the ministry that was given to him. I think he was also from the tribe of Kahath, a privileged group. We read that in Numbers. And they were handling the things that are closer to the holy place. But you know what? They were not satisfied with what God has given. They wanted to go inside and show incense and all that. And we know how they died. Again, that story is in the book of Numbers. But their sons, they are saying, in verse 10 of Psalm 84, "For the day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." How do you like that? Their sons are saying, our father wanted to be like the high priest, like Aaron. Their complaint was against Aaron. But their sons are saying, "We are satisfied with your presence. Even if we get a security job, the least qualified person in an office, right? The security guard. We are happy." One day, to be a security guard in God's temple, that's enough for us. Rather than spending 1,000 years in the tents of the wicked. And then look at verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor." Now look at this, the next part. "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." You know, when I look back into my own life, this second part of verse 11 has encouraged me a lot. Whenever I felt like, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, the Spirit of God always reminded me of this verse. "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Which means you think or you wish that you had that, but God is not giving you. It simply means it's not good for you. And that's why he withholds that particular thing from you. Christian life should be a content life. If you are not content, if you still crave for things that you don't have, there is something wrong with your relationship with God. Let's go back to our relationship with God. Who is God? He is our loving Father who wants the best for us. The moment you doubt that, you are falling for the temptation of the enemy. See, that was a temptation in the garden. When the serpent spoke to a woman and said, if you eat this fruit, you will become like God, and God knows that. That's why he told you not to eat. The serpent made the woman doubt the goodness of God. Right? When you doubt the goodness of God, you lost it. And that's what these people had. They thought, we are not getting meat, and that is because God is not good. They were wrong. They were not given meat because God was good. Because God wanted the best for them. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we remember the way the prophet prayed regarding his servant. Open his eyes. Lord, many a times our eyes are closed to see what you are doing in our lives. Our eyes are closed to see your good hand that guides us, provides us exactly what we need, so that it will be good for us. Lord, we pray that as we live in this world, help us to have that simple trust in our Heavenly Father, who knows what is good for us, and help us to be content with what you have given us. Lord, we are tempted to complain, we are tempted to murmur. Pray that you will keep us from that sin of murmuring and complaining. Help us to thank you for all the circumstances and situations that you allow in our lives, so that our life will glorify you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.